and somebody who understands police work and understands crime, like few others, is Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. She's a spokesperson for the National Police Association, and she's here with us now. Sergeant Smith, welcome back.
Rich, thanks so much for having me, and you opened this so well because, you know, I think by now most people have seen that viral video of those two thugs running over what looks like an elderly bicyclist. I don't think they knew that he was a retired police officer. But here's a guy who survives a 35-year police career, retires as a chief, and gets run over just trying to keep himself fit. And and it was apparent to me that neither of those kids had any value for life, for property, really for liberty. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing so many young people that they just live in a fantasy world, like a video game world. And people's lives don't matter. People's property doesn't matter. And it's a terrible state that we're in.
You know, Sergeant Smith, I this is why I shy away from this stuff, because it's very disheartening. You know, I've got brothers that served NYPD, completed their career. My brother John went on to be a Fed, and I think he's 62 or 63 this year, and or 65. And it's just, it's terrible. I mean, it really is terrible to think that this chief, you know, not that far away from my own brother's age, and to think that, you know, you like you said, you could survive all of the ins and outs, shootouts, all the crazy things that my brothers have been through on the job, and to only to make it out unscathed, and then, you know, lamentably get mowed down by two crazy kids. And it's the crazy kids part. It's just as bad as the dead chief. And it's bewildering to me. You know, my daughter's 17, my youngest daughter, and she's going to be 18 in 4 days. And, you know, I just think I could not imagine. I just could not imagine, you know, someone as young as her doing something as evil as this, Sergeant.
No, and you're absolutely right. And we're in the middle of, you know, again, the rise in violent crime continues. You know, right now, we're comparing everything to 2019, and the first half of 2023 compared to 2019, again, is on the rise for the third year in a row. And we have had, since the rise, if you will, of Black Lives Matter, and this comes from, not from me, but from the Journal of Urban Economics, 3,000 additional murders have occurred from 2014 to 2021. So what we are seeing is more murders. And, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement was all about, you know, police response and police use of force. And during that same time period, there have only been 200 fewer instances of police use of force. So we didn't really reduce police having to use force. But we have thousands more murders, and so many of those murders are of young African-American men, the very people that the Black Lives Matter organization purported to try to help. So this is really, really frustrating for a lot of us, especially for law enforcement. Cops just want to do their job.
Yeah, and I can't imagine seeing more murders. You know, I go to work every day, and I hope that the ratings go up, right? If you tell me, you've been at work for a year, the ratings went down, I'd say, man, I suck. You know, and I'm sure if you're a cop and you go and you hear, wow, murder's on the rise, you're thinking, man, I've got to do more. We've got to do more work. We've got to help more people. And when I look at the number that you just cited, 3,000 additional murders compared to 200 fewer incidences where police used lethal force. In that same similar time period. Now, this is interesting to me because I'm wondering if there's a correlation. And I don't know if I could prove that there is one or not, but I would suspect, based on just that data, if the cops were using more lethal force, perhaps we'd have less murders because there'd be less murderers on the streets. Is that fair to say, or is that a jump into crazy town?
No, you're spot on, because what prevents homicide, what prevents violent crime in general, is proactive policing. And what we have seen since 2014, and of course, 2014, we had the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, a young gangbanger trying to disarm a cop. But that really was the beginning of the war on cops in this country. And so what that shows is when cops are not proactive, when we are not taking guns off the street, when we are not making good cases against violent criminals and putting them in prison, there is going to be more violent crime and, of course, more homicides. And this research, you know, this research was very well done. They looked at 1,000 cities and towns that had at least one significant Black Lives Matter protest, again, from 2014 to 2021. And what they found out was that after every high-profile, shooting or incident where cops are criticized, where we see it, you know, every night on the news, proactive policing goes down and cops leave the job. And we now also have a crisis of recruitment and retention in law enforcement. You know, we have 40% less people even applying to become police officers, much less making it through all the testing and the academy and all of that. And it's you know, nine out of every 10 police departments, Rich, are short-handed in this. New York, NYPD is going to be below 9,000 officers pretty soon. We've got, each of the main urban police departments, the top 30, all are missing hundreds of police officers. And when they would usually have 100, 200, 300 recruits to start the academy, they have 20, 30, 40. And a lot of those recruits are not necessarily the best and the brightest for the profession, which is what we want for our communities.
We're on with Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. She's the spokesperson for the National Police Association. And we're going to continue on this topic of crime. And if you have a call and you have a question, concern, feel free to call 833-482-5337, 833-4-VALDEZ.
With Rich Valdez.
All right, America, welcome back. We're on with our guest, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. She is the national spokesperson for the National Police Association, and we're discussing the challenges that police are facing with crime and, in addition, with recruitment. And we have a call from Ohio, Zanesville, Ohio, WHIZ. Let's check in with Paul. Paul, you're on with Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith and me, Rich Valdez. Go right ahead.
Good evening, Rich and Sergeant Smith. Sergeant Smith, this is exactly why I endorse, support, and like Larry Elder. Because of what he says about, having to have the father in the home, you know, especially now, I don't want to single anybody out, but like a lot of these Black families now, and, you know, regards to talking about what just happened, I seen that. That made my stomach turn when I seen those kids hit that cop like that and kill him. I'd like to know what your thoughts are on don't you think that's what's missing in America a lot is like, you know, these families that are broken and these kids not having a father that is strong like my dad was. And I've heard Rich talk and his dad was. I don't know about your father, but they need someone to show them, you know, that this kind of thing's wrong. And I think that's a lot of what's wrong in society. And I'd like your opinion on that because I do support Larry Elder and I'd like to see him as a VP to Donald Trump.
Well, I love Larry Elder. I got to tell you, Larry Elder is somebody I've admired for a long time. And you're absolutely right. He talks, I love his stories about his own father and when he grew up. And I grew up with a very strong father, you know, Army veteran and a farmer and a reserve cop. And yeah, if I did anything wrong, I knew, you know, I wasn't worried about the police. I was worried about what my parents would do to me. And you're absolutely right. We see, and I saw, I was a cop for 29 years. I would go to household after household after household where there was no father in the house, no male role model, very often multiple children being raised by a very beleaguered grandmother who, or a mother who was just trying to work and put food on the table and things like that. What we have now, unfortunately, and now I'm going to sound like my own father, is that we don't have family, we don't have religion, and we don't have any discipline in the home. And let's go back to, you know, we can go back to when I was a kid. We had respect for the police. We had respect for pastors. We had respect for teachers. We had a lot of adult role models in our lives. So even if you were in a single parent household, there, you had adults in your life that you could admire and look up to and who told you how to behave, how to treat people in society. We don't seem to have that anymore. And that's why we see viral video after viral video of the incredible, not just disrespect, but disregard for others, for their life, their safety, their property, and their very ability to exist.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. It's a great point. And Sergeant Smith, I think you're 100% right. This is part of what I believe is ruining the fabric. I think you nailed it. There's a lack of faith. There's a lack of community. And I think it really fault lies on both sides. You mentioned you were a cop for 29 years. I'm sure you had a lot of interaction with the community. And when I was a kid, we knew a lot of the cops. They knew us. And that was normal. And that's not really normal today, at least where I live. And I think that there's work to be done there. But it's very difficult to do that work when the police are demonized. I want to get into that recruitment stuff and wrap up with you in a moment. Folks, we're on with Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. We're coming right back.
With Rich Valdez.
All right, America, we're on with Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. She is the spokesperson for the National Police Association. I hope I got that right. And Sergeant Smith, in the limited time that we have, I was going to say foundation. I want to address a couple of things. Mainly, let's keep it to community policing, because I think, like I said, it's an important thing that I don't think is happening enough. And I live in a very safe, very nice suburb right outside of New York City on the Jersey side of the Hudson. And, you know, I feel like, you know, when I see the cops, they don't say hello. They don't want to talk to me. And it could be a particular thing with this department. But I feel like they could be a little bit more involved so that the kids that are in town that are might be troubled or whatever the case is, or anybody, you know, that it's not just an adversarial relationship. And I know it was never like that in the past, but that's where we are today. And the flip side of that is you've got in NYPD, the community relations team that wears the blue polo shirts, and they're out there trying to connect with the community, and they're getting bottles thrown at them and rocks thrown at them. And it's like, man, this is a tough situation, Sarge.
Well, and you're absolutely right. You know, the last 3 years, we've had the vilification of the American law enforcement officers, and cops are feeling pretty beat up, pretty beleaguered. And again, with 78% of our law enforcement agencies having difficulty in recruiting quality candidates, the cops are tired. They're working so much overtime, and, officer ambushes are at 150% high. So you're absolutely right. We need to do better. But we also need, our communities need to uplift their law enforcement officers. That's why the National Police Association exists.
That's 100% right. I agree with that. And I think it all starts with being respectful on both sides. And once, you know, you have a situation based on respect, I think things lead to a better outcome. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, let everybody know how they can follow the work that you're doing with the National Police Association.
I ask everybody to go to nationalpolice.org, nationalpolice.org, and see all the amazing things we're doing, including our mobile billboard that's traveling across the country right now, asking you to defend, not defund, the police.
Outstanding. Sarge, we got to have you back for more time. I really appreciate the conversation. Thanks for staying up late with us. I appreciate it. You are a gentlewoman, a scholar, and a patriot. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
You bet.